Brad, thank you so much for being on the summit today. I really appreciate you joining us from Oakland, right?
Yes, Oakland, California.
Awesome. I love your books, Peak Performance and The Passion Paradox. So I got them both right here. I've read them front to back. So I'm looking forward to talking to you a little bit about how we can use some of these strategies to deal with change and adversity in our lives right now.
Yeah, there's a lot of that going on, Syndra. So it's a really timely topic.
So to start off, I want to ask you to share with us a fun fact about you.
So a fun fact about me is, I love sports, but that's probably pretty normal for your audience. Let's see, I played high school football and I was a pretty good high school football player. And I almost played in college, but decided to go to a big school rather than a small school. And I would have been like a second, fifth string walk-on at Michigan, and decided against it. And I'm glad I did, because my I probably had more time to think about the ideas that I write about than if I would have been playing football.
Where did you go to high school?
I went to a high school called North Farmington in a suburb of Detroit.
Nice. Excellent. Sounds great. So what is the high performance mindset to you?
So I think a high performance mindset to me is continuously wanting to improve at your craft, mm-hmm. and to also become a kinder, stronger, and wiser person along the way.
I like that. I like that you added that it's like about being kind and strong and wise. Great word.
Yeah, I think that being, you know, on a good performance path of improvement in a craft, those things tend to come as a byproduct. So mm-hmm. like, yes, if you're going to be a chaplain or a physician or a nurse, some of those attributes might be primary to your pursuit mm-hmm. of high performance. But even if you're like a power lifter or running a business that has nothing to do with caring for humans, if you really put your all into what you're doing, generally you come out kinder, wiser, and stronger.
Excellent. So what role do you think that mindset plays in our ability to deal with change and adversity?
So I think that it comes back to this notion of viewing performance as a path that you're on to continuously get better and to continuously grow as a person and become the best version of yourself. Mm-hmm. If you can adopt a mindset like that, then adversity isn't as catastrophic, because mm-hmm. adversity might just be a pothole on the path, but it's not the end of it. And if you can really take a long view and again, view performance as an ongoing path, then things that we'd otherwise consider failure, they just become more information. So mm-hmm. they're events that we can learn from, we can adjust as we go. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you're so focused on whatever is right in front of you, then adversity can really be debilitating. So it gets back to that constantly getting better, kinder, stronger, wiser. Anything can work in service of those goals.
So when you think about being the best version of yourself right now, given all the things that we, you know, can't control related to COVID-19 and the regulations that are in place, maybe we're working from home. Tell us how, in your perspective, like being the best version of yourself could help you at this time.
So I think it's just having really good self-awareness in a sense of what your values are, and then really doing everything that you can to show up and act in service of those values. Mm-hmm. Because so much can change externally in the world around you, both like the large world around you and then even the more intimate world around you. COVID-19 is affecting both of those things. Yeah. There's so much human suffering and terrible things happening, like big world and then little world. You're working from home. You're probably spending more time with your partner and your kids than you ever have, at least like in the last decade.
For sure.
So there's all these changes. You can't really control any of that, but what you can control are, these are the values that I stand for. Mm-hmm. And here's how I'm going to show up every day and try to act in alignment with those values. Because that's always within your control.
Yeah, awesome. Can you give us some examples of maybe your values that you work from during this time, or maybe a client?
So, do you want one from, you want me or a client? It's up to you.
You decide. Okay, I can decide. I'd like to know for you.
Okay, so for me, So I actually have my values, if I look over here, pasted above my desk. So one of my values is health. And for me, that's mental and physical. And normally the physical health is going to a gym that is now closed.
Yeah.
And normally the mental health is I work with a coach therapist, and normally it's going to see her. And now that is shut off because it's not essential. So for me, like that particular value, it's adapted. So I've really tried to dial in like a home movement workout routine that I can do in 45 minutes a day, just in with the bare minimum equipment that I have here. I'm still working with my therapist coach just via virtual.
Nice.
Another value of mine is community. Obviously, that's changed a ton out in the world because we can't interact physically in person. So how do I show up in service of that value? It's making sure that I'm scheduling time to connect via FaceTime, Zoom, Skype, telephone, email, letter, to just stay in touch with those people that I care about. And then like another core value is authenticity.
Yeah.
So for me, that just means to like show up and say what I really want to say and not perform or act. And that you can do always.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. I love the personal example. What would be like a top mindset tool that you think we can use to deal with adversity and change right now? And maybe it's even something from your one of your books.
So something that I've been thinking about a lot right now is this notion of self-distancing.
Yeah.
Which basically, there are tools to help you get out of your own emotional state in an acute like moment and view it with larger perspective. Mm-hmm. So one way to do it is to imagine that you're 15 years older than you are right now, and you're wiser, and you're, you know, sitting back on your leather chair, sipping on bourbon or whatever it is that you do as an old wise person. What advice would you give to the younger version of you that's living in this moment? And then follow that advice. Because once we can create a little bit of space between ourselves and what we're experiencing, we tend to make much more centered decisions.
So the advice I give myself, it was 15 years later, I'd say the most important thing is your family. Make sure you use this time to connect with them in new ways. I think myself 15 years from now would also say like, stay passionate about what you're doing.
Yep. So I love it. Yeah. If I think, my 15 year self would say, like this isn't going to last forever. And it actually feels like a speck in time. Like when I look back on it 15 years from now, it didn't really feel like it was that big of a deal,
yeah.
But in the moment it feels huge. Mm-hmm. And then it says the same thing, like really make sure that you're using this time for the people and work that you care about. And then also like realize that it could change on a dime. Something I'm talking about a lot with so many of my coaching clients,
yeah.
Is that at an arm's length, everything is fine. But beyond that, it's really scary. And the arm's length could change on a dime. You could get sick. Someone in your family could get sick. A friend could get sick. So it's not to say that we shouldn't all be despairing. Like if you are lucky enough to work from home and you have extra time now, throw yourself into work. And it's okay to like get really excited about work right now. Just realize that like it could change on a dime. And what's crazy is like that's always true. It's yes. Just a little bit more acute right now. At least it can feel that way.
Yeah. I like that idea. And I think about other things that maybe I thought were really big disappointments at the time. When I look back, it's like, well, that was just actually something I learned from or how I grew. And it wasn't really as big of a deal as it felt like that in the moment.
Yeah. That's like, it's part of just being patient, I think, in playing the long game. And just like knowing that even when you're like in the middle of the crap, it feels like it's going to last forever. It feels like it's going to be terrible. And then when you're on the other side of the crap, like things tend to not, you don't remember them as being as bad. So it's just like show up, put one foot in front of the other. You don't have to feel great, but just know that like keep living in alignment with your values. Eventually the weather changes and it, you won't.
You won't what?
Oh, sorry. You won't remember it necessarily as being so terrible.
Nice.
Like it won't feel as bad.
Yeah. Great. What do you think, Brad, gets in the way of people developing the high performance mindset? So if it was like really being kind and wise and also like leading yourself to your best, what do you think gets in the way of that?
I think a lot. I think it's hard. If it were easy, everyone would have it. Right now, it feels like there's so much distraction and there's so much noise, and it's really hard to focus on the signal. Yes. And particularly now that we have like these super powered computers that fit in our pockets, yeah, that alert us with everything, that I think distraction is the biggest barrier. And the way to overcome it is to just set really clear boundaries. And if you find yourself continuously falling prey to the same distraction, don't be scared to eliminate it. So the example there is I took social media off my phone. And that was like pretty small cost, big benefit.
Yeah.
I was still really distracted by email. A little bit bigger of a cost because I can't respond to emails on the go.
Right.
But the benefit was I'm not always thinking about my email and checking it. So then I took email off my phone. And then I decided to take internet off my phone. Because all these things, and like what people don't understand is these things have a real cost. Like there are no doubt times when something is happening or someone needs to reach me and I can't respond. And I'm not like, I don't do as well because of it, and the value that I get from just retraining my brain to be okay with open space is so much greater than that cost over the course of my lifetime. Cause now like when I'm waiting in line in a store, I can have a creative idea instead of like checking my email or my internet. And I'm not saying that that's the right thing for everyone. If you're the CEO of a business or like the chief operating officer, you probably can't just take everything off your phone. But I think everybody has certain things that they feel are so important,
yeah,
that really aren't that important and they're just distractions.
Oh, that's powerful. You're making me think about how I use my phone and how maybe I'm using it to like, I don't know, maybe decompress a little bit.
Yeah, it's funny. I've got a good friend, another like a colleague of ours, another coach who calls smartphones adult pacifiers.
That's super great.
Yeah, because we've all used it like that, right? Like you're a little bit bored, you're a little bit restless, you're a little bit anxious, like you're in a low mood. It's like, oh, take out the phone. Right. And it's not always problematic. Like these phones are really great. They connect people. I mean, we found each other through the internet. Maybe you were on your phone when you found me. So it's a tool. The thing is just to be really aware of how you use it. Yeah. Because otherwise everything just becomes a distraction.
And I think about your equation in peak performance that stress plus rest equals growth. And like the rest, I think about that as like physical rest, but also mental rest. And sometimes when we always have that phone and we're spending time, you know, just going through it, it's like not giving ourselves mental rest to have that time of creativity and insight. Yep.
I think the one thing for participants in the forum to realize though, or excuse me, the summit is, if you do start eliminating distractions, it's going to suck at first. So like it gets worse before it gets better because you're going to be like super anxious. Like you're going to feel phantom vibrations and you're going to reach for your phone and you're going to worry that you're falling behind and you're going to rush home to your desktop to pull up your email to see what you missed. All that is normal. Just give it 2 to 4 weeks.
Okay.
And then my guess is you'll actually start to feel a lot more freedom and the ability to focus on what really matters.
Excellent. So a couple more questions I have from you or for you, Brad. When you think about your books, Peak Performance or Passion Paradox, is there anything in either of these books that you think would be really helpful for us right now in this time of uncertainty and change? Any concept or tool?
So I think stress plus rest equals growth, as you mentioned, and to realize that like this is a very stressful time for lots of people. And if this time is couched in the right support, reflection, and eventually rest, we can all grow from it.
Nice.
I think that's really important. And then something else is just the importance of self-compassion and being kind and not judging yourself. So whatever you're feeling is fine. If you are feeling despair, that's okay. If it's real bad, like make sure that you're getting some support for that. But it's okay to be sad right now. If you're feeling really happy because you just did something in your business and it's great and you feel ashamed that you're feeling happy, you shouldn't feel guilty. You can feel totally happy about your personal success. At the same time, you can be sad about the world. So I think like we have all of these preconceived notions and thoughts about like what's okay to feel.
Right.
And it's a very Western thing. They don't do this in Eastern societies. It's okay to feel all of it. If you're feeling really low, make sure you get support. If you're feeling really high, don't judge yourself for feeling high. And be prepared to feel all those emotions on the same day.
Yes.
I can have a day where I'm caught up in my work and I'm like, yeah, everything's clicking. I'm working on my next book. I'm like, this is great. Like, amazing. And then I turn on the news and I see scenes from New York and I want to cry.
I know.
All in one day. That's all. Yeah. Like, that's the human experience.
And I think it's important that we're vulnerable. You know, like, I think about this weekend and there was, I mean, I was kind of in a funk for like 10 hours and I don't get in those kind of funks, right? And so I had to really be compassionate with myself as well, you know, just realizing, hey, I can, it's okay to feel anything I'm feeling right now. So Brad, what would you say, like, give us insight on like how you develop your high performance mindset? What's important to you?
So I'm a big believer in just taking action that aligns with your core values. There's a saying I love that mood follows action. So we think we need to feel a certain way to act, but I actually think that like you act a certain way and then like you feel.
Okay.
And oops, I'm cutting out 1 second, or at least it seems like it. Sorry if I cut out a little bit. It's like everyone is on Zoom at the same time during COVID-19. Yeah, just the importance of acting in alignment with your values, which is very different than like fake it till you make it, because fake it till you make it is like fake who you want to be. Your core values are like these things that are so important to you, who like you really are when you're at your best. And then just by showing up, that's how you feel good, not the other way around.
Excellent.
Another like little, I'm a big fan, you can probably tell, of these sayings. Another little saying I like is, you don't need to feel good to get going. Like, you get going and then you feel good.
Ah, nice. So just start. I think about it as, like I say, the start, it's the start that stops people,
yeah,
right? Like,
totally. And you probably know about this from your research in psychology, but like one of the most underused effective ways to treat really bad clinical depression is called behavioral activation, which literally just means like, just start doing something. Mm-hmm. Like, don't try to change your mindset. Don't try to like get over cognitive distortions. God forbid, like, don't do positive thinking. Like, just start doing things.
Yeah.
And then your brain follows.
Yeah. Awesome. I think about how, well, I've heard this saying, like, if you're in your head, you're dead, right? So just
that's another good
one.
Head,
go do something so you're not overthinking it. Okay. Two more quick questions, Brad.
Yeah.
So, can you share with us a story of a person or a team or a business that has demonstrates the power of mindset and like using this to really be at their best and potential?
Yeah. So one of my best friends is like so incredible at this. Her name's Shalane Flanagan. She's a really, really good distance runner. I am biased because we're good friends, but I would say like the best ever U.S. women's distance runner.
She's one of my heroes.
Yeah, me too. She's great. So Shalane didn't have her huge race until later in her career. It was one of her last races and she had made Olympic teams. She had made world championships. She was always at the top of U.S. distance running, but like she was one of these U.S. runners who didn't break through and have that major win. And she could have veered off the path so many times, but she had this long-term goal of just being the best that she could, stronger, kinder, wiser. She stayed in the game and she was the first U.S. American woman to win New York City Marathon in over 40 years. And she also like, and this is unfolding right now. So Shalane just retired from running last year and she's doing that with so much grace. And it's not to say that that's been hard. That's such a big life change and transition, but she's taking up coaching. She's spending more time with her family. She's writing cookbooks. Like, again, no one's perfect. And like, if you lift the Shalane, you know, hood, you'll see like there's a lot of sadness too, but she's really moving forward in doing it intentionally. So Shalane is great. She embodies all this stuff.
Wonderful. And what I heard, what you said is like, she stayed focused on the process, just like being her best self and not the outcome. And then, wow, first woman in 40 years, a U.S. woman to win the New York City Marathon. It was so inspiring watching her do
that. Yeah. And I think I should know this. I think she was 36, maybe even 37. So like, she didn't do it at the peak of her career. But she stayed really patient. And, you know, like, yes, winning that, I'm sure, has made it easier for her to retire and begin the process of moving on to the next phase of her life. And my guess is even if she didn't, she'd be right where she is now anyways.
Yeah.
Because she did have this process mindset.
Nice. Okay, last question, Brad. Tell us a specific lesson you are learning during this period of COVID-19.
Ooh, that's a good one. I think just like how to really, so I'm married and I love my wife and I have a 2-year-old and I love my 2-year-old and we live in a 3-bedroom apartment and it's not that big. So just like really learning how to communicate with each other, not so much my 2-year-old, he's learning how to communicate with everyone right now. but like really understanding that, you know, like if we just communicate openly and like we take deep breaths and we do our best to like understand each other's needs and where we're at emotionally and physically, we can make it work. That combined with like really playing the long game. So the way that my wife and I are thinking about it, and we have to remind each other this, is we have a, this is going to last for 2 months mindset at any given point until we get new information. But we also then are on a day-to-day level.
Nice.
And then the other thing that we're doing, because there is so much news and it's so easy to get sucked in, is my wife and I will very nicely remind each other, especially when we're with our son, we just say like, do you really want to be on your phone right now?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the answer is yes. My phone's less problematic because I took everything off it. But because I'm a human and I'm vulnerable just like everyone else, like I'll steal my wife's phone because I know that has the news on it. So it's just like, do you really want to be on your phone right now? And sometimes the answer is yes, and that's mm-hmm. fine. But just trying to prevent like that inertia from getting sucked into something that you don't necessarily want to be doing.
Yeah. Brad, I'm so grateful for your time today to be on the summit. Here's a few things I got from you today. I liked your definition of performance as like an ongoing path to be the best version of ourselves. And this idea of...
Oh, no.
Oh, I'm hearing you.
Wait. Okay. Try again. Sorry. Okay. We cut out there right at the wrap up.
I said what I appreciated is like your definition of performance.
Again.
I can still hear you.
Wait, okay, try again. Let's see. Okay. I keep on having to reconnect. I think it's my internet. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, we're good. I said what I appreciated most was like your definition of performance is the ongoing path to be the best version of ourselves. I liked the example of like 15 years from now, what advice would you give yourself? That's really powerful. And I know people really appreciated that. Working in alignment with your values, I think that is powerful. And if you haven't identified those, that would be a great practice that you can
and write them down. I'll turn around. I'm at my desk. Like I've got my values like right there above a picture of my wife and my son. So there's just like a constant like visual reminder. Like literally you want to slap yourself in the face with this stuff.
Yeah. I have mine over there on my grip board. And
love it.
Mine are like love and warmth, courage and boldness, contribution and service. Those are my top three.
Love it. Love it. Love it. You're doing all those things right now.
Yeah. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
That's nice of you to say.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it's about. And just like reminding yourself over and over, because I'm sure there are times when you're not, and then it's like a little bit of a wake up call.
Yeah. Awesome. I really just enjoyed talking to you in general. So thank you so much for your time and energy and taking the time out of, you know, being with your 2-year-old and your wife. We so appreciate your wisdom and we can't wait to read your next book.
Thanks so much for having me as a part of the summit.